This is Side Hustle with Luke and Omar. We'll explore what it takes to run a side hustle with talented individuals from different backgrounds and experiences. We will discuss things like taking the plunge, personal challenges, and the balancing act of maintaining a day job whilst side hustling to make the dream a reality. Now sit back, relax, as we talk to some of these amazing individuals. We have a special guest in the building today, Mr. Sam Coniglan. Did I say that right?
Say it again.
Coniglan?
Yeah, perfect.
Awesome.
Awesome.
How are you today, Sam?
I'm good. Like, it's a thrill to be here. I love the medium of podcasts. I'm a fan of quite a few, so it's
awesome
to actually be on one. It's cool.
Dude, thank you so much for being here. It's an early Saturday morning because we usually record Friday evenings and Saturday mornings. So we really appreciate you coming through. We know you've got a big day ahead of you, so we'll get this wrapped up fairly quickly. We also have Luke here. Luke, what's going on?
I'm interested in the story about how you guys met and how Sam's on the show. Do you want to maybe just quickly start with that?
Well, Omar just sort of came into my main workplace and bought some shoes and we started talking about our lives or whatever, and he just got talking about his job, which sounded really interesting, and also what he also does, which is what we're doing right now. And we just got to talking and yeah.
Sam, you're awesome. Downplaying this entire thing. Hold on. This guy pretty much provided me the best customer service I've ever had.
Yeah?
Like, because it was a bit challenging because I was in the store and there was also a couple of dodgy dudes that walked in at the time. So he was trying to help me out with sizing, but he's also keeping an eye out on these guys because they were walking deeper into the store and they looked like they were about to, you know, walk away with some shit.
Yeah.
So he kept looking at me and going, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. I'll get you your size, but I just got a thing. And I'm like, I read the room and I was like, don't worry about it, man. Like, just do what you need to do. Like, take your time.
It's quite a regular thing having those types of people in our shop. So like, you can definitely tell when those people sort of come in. But
how do you deal with them? Like, if do you sort of try and usher them out? Do you give them like lesser service so they want to leave, or how do you sort of do it?
Well, you sort of gotta kill them with kindness. Like, you sort of just have to sort of come up to them and just sort of be overtly happy and just nice and sort of like just annoy them almost to the point where they come out. But you sort of gotta honestly have like
that's a skill, man.
That's a good strategy.
But honestly, you gotta have like an eye at the back of your head or whatever, you know. So you always gotta be aware of them. But Omar had my back or whatever, so I don't know. Like, he's wearing the shoes right now.
I am.
What are they?
They look pretty cool.
Like, they're Solomon X S-Lab?
Yeah, the Solomon X-Lab. So, just like one of the nicest shoes that we have.
They're the best sneakers.
At my main job. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you want to maybe get into a little bit of that? Like, what is that main job while we're there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, I work at like a sort of boutique streetwear shop. I've been working there like for about 4 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've been working full time there. So that's been like, I think I work about 39 hours a week there. So it's like definitely a main part of my life. But there's the owner, whose name is James. He is my boss or whatever, and me and him run the shop together, so I've been there for like since the start with him. It's cool to sort of start a business with someone, like running a business from scratch. So
you were there from day one?
I was right there from day one. So awesome.
So is that like an employee number one type thing?
Yeah, and there's been people that have like sort of come and gone with the shop, but I've always been that one consistent person that's been there and helped run it. So we started with one shop and we've now have two shops, so we've doubled in size since then. So
wow.
I don't know, like, it's cool. Like, every sort of year goes by and you still exist as a business is a really good thing. So just the fact that we're in 4 years now. It's definitely a massive part of my life. But
are you into street clothing? I mean, obviously you're decked out quite well. Like, I'm loving for our audience. Sam is rocking a hockey. What's that team?
It's the Detroit Red Wings.
Red Wings, yeah. It's like the wheel with the wing on it. It's a really cool jumper. But
thank you.
So street kind of clothing has been a big part of your life, do you think?
As a kid, ever since I was a kid, I've always been a a very sporty kid. I especially love American sports.
Yeah.
So I'm in especially NBA basketball. So
oh, wow.
Being a kid and loving basketball and you get introduced to streetwear through that, I think. Like basketball high tops, basketball shoes.
Definitely.
Singlets.
The entire culture is so infectious.
Starter and stuff. So ever since I was a kid, I've always been interested in streetwear. Like my mum would make me 90s Blossom hats. I don't know. Blossom's a TV
show.
And Blossom was always famous for her 90s hats. And mum would make me those. And I'd always been interested in baggy clothes or whatever. So, I've always been into fashion.
That's awesome.
Or whatever. But, and like all my part-time school retail jobs. Retail jobs and stuff. So I've always worked in retail. Like really nice places as well. I don't know if you could tell with my accent, but from New Zealand, so like I worked at really nice places in New Zealand.
I had no idea you were from New Zealand.
Not tell my accent?
I had no idea.
Now that you say it, I can totally hear it.
I thought that'd be one of the first things you'd say, like,
because I grew up in New Zealand as well.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Where from?
Auckland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hate Auckland.
Where did you grow up?
Auckland is so pretentious. Kind Wellington's. Wellington. Okay. It's beautiful.
Yep.
But so I'm
wow. Shit, I had no idea.
Yeah, awesome.
That's
my mum would
awesome.
Hate that because she would hate the fact if I'm losing my New Zealand accent. So into Australian, yeah, she yeah. Okay, maybe I'm becoming an Australian or whatever. But,
No, definitely not. I knew you were from somewhere. I just couldn't pin it down to New Zealand. And
okay.
People from Wellington can so easily plug into Melbourne because there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, it's seamless.
Yeah. Like culture, art, music, fashion, like Wellingtonians.
It's a miniature version of Melbourne.
Pretty much.
Like, it's like a suburb offshoot of Melbourne.
Absolutely.
If you planted Wellington up with cranes and put it next to Melbourne, I could just be another suburb.
I couldn't agree more. Wellingtonians are the people you look up to when it comes down to anything creative. Like their outlet and the way they kind of put things together puts Auckland to shame. When it comes down to kind of creativity and stuff.
And this is from someone from Auckland saying.
Exactly. So hands up.
Well, I feel like that maybe segues well into your creative side. And
cool.
Not that the fashion isn't creative, but like.
True.
But also on the, I guess, your side hustle. Can you maybe explain what that is and what you do?
Of course. So I'm an artist. I just plain and simple. I think it's good if you're an artist, you just say it. Because like before I used to be like, I'd maybe do art on the side or I do some drawings or whatever.
Yep.
But you got to say it proud. You got to say,
absolutely.
I'm an artist. I'm a 2D artist. I'm a visual artist. I draw on a computer program called Adobe Illustrator, which is a medium of art, of digital art. So I draw in mathematics and I draw visual 2D drawings that have thought process to it or whatever. So that's what I do. I do art. I'm an artist.
When you say but mathematics, what do you mean by that? Like how does that what does that I guess mean?
Oh cool. What a great question. Adobe Illustrator is a vector art, which vector in itself is mathematics. So you're drawing with like the crosses, like the X's and
the Y's. X and the Y's, yeah.
Yeah. So if you go up Y and across X. Oh, that could be the wrong way. I'm sorry, my maths.
No, like, X is, X is horizontal, vertical is Y.
Yeah, so if you go up and then you go another point, so you go two across, three down or whatever, and there's your 2 points, and then you can create the curve. Because like the two things in art is how do you draw a straight line and how do you do a curve. A line is really easy because you go point to point.
Yep.
But if you go, how do you draw a curve, that's when the vectors come into play. And because mathematics is endless, that means you could draw whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Mathematics is just endless.
So what I wanted to know is the style of art that you produce, because looking at your Instagram and your portfolio, it seems like you've got a bit of a Japanese style to what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I'm really influenced by sort of 90s anime. Like some of the most amazing anime came out at that time. That's when like sort of Studio Ghibli started hitting their stride. I'm a massive fan of like shows like Neon Genesis Evangelion and Akira and,
yeah, wow.
And Ghost in the Shell. So that kind of aesthetic to me is sort of like the golden era of anime. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah, so I drew a lot of inspiration from that art. I try to... there's like a big movement of art at the moment called Superflat.
Okay.
Which started in early 2000s or whatever. Yep. It's Superflat is sort of basically pop culture's the Japanese version of pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically essentially turning lowbrow art like anime and manga and turning it into fine art.
Wow.
So you know the Kanye West cover Graduation,
yep.
the bear shooting out,
yep.
The purple one. Yeah, so that is done by Takashi Murakami, who
yes.
is the godfather of Superflat.
He is the boss, yeah, of that, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so he coined the term Superflat. So,
okay.
So he started the art movement and stuff. So, yeah, it's basically sort of... Like if you had like pop art in America,
uh-huh.
It sort of became massive in the 60s and the 70s with Warhol and stuff. So he turned pop art into what it is, whatever. And then, this is Japan's version of it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, Murakami's essentially, the new Warhol, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess your art influence is deep-rooted within your childhood, I'm assuming, and the things that you're kind
of
attracted to besides
sports. Yeah,
one of
my main things with my art is definitely nostalgia. Like, my artwork is basically, like, the themes of my artwork is nostalgia. Like, it's or a.k.a. Plagiarism, like, everything I do already exists.
Yeah.
It needs to sort of have that connection. Everything, I only draw what I see. So
that's
if
cool,
it exists,
man.
I draw it. Like, there
yeah.
needs to be the connection, I feel like, between the viewer of the art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There needs to be some sort of connection between the two. So, if I just drew something off the top of my head and it didn't exist and I put it out there, then
yep.
There wouldn't be any kind of connection to it. So
for sure.
I'm fully owning the plagiarism thing.
So you're kind of reinterpreting, I guess. I'm a designer. I
yeah.
plagiarize a lot, but I call it remixing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, you're just remixing stuff for a little bit.
It's like sampling. It's like Kanye West.
Exactly.
He's
yeah,
built
yeah,
his entire
it's
career
exactly.
on that.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's like Quentin Tarantino. They say
yeah.
he is like a mixed DJ of directors. So
yeah.
and he just pulls stuff from other things and stuff. So
definitely.
It's just about taking stuff that you already know, that everyone knows, and
mm-hmm.
just sort of recontextualizing it into something else.
Yeah. Awesome.
And that's what I do. It's just about nostalgia and so that's it.
That's cool.
From looking at your feed, like I can totally see how you're putting your own spin on it as well. Like there's
for sure.
On your site there's like the Adventure Time letters.
Oh
it's really, really cool.
Yeah,
because,
Adventure
like,
Time totally inspired me being an artist. Like that sort of gray area of trying to be childlike and adult,
yeah.
Where that show hits that really nice point, and just like the colours that they use as well and stuff. So yeah, I have an Adventure Time tattoo, so I'm a massive
fan
of
the
show.
I love that show.
Well, for our
I
listeners,
so
Sam is actually covered up in tattoos. Besides his face, like we can see, he's got tattoos on his arms,
yeah.
on his hands.
Yeah.
From photos I've seen, you got some on your legs. How many tattoos do you have?
I don't know the exact number, but it's over 30. It's over 30.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you draw them? Like, are your
no?
Your
I would hate to have my own artwork on me. I would hate that so much. I have other artists' art on me, but yeah, I've been getting tattoos since I was 17, I think, and I've made my mum cry over my tattoos and stuff.
Oh,
so,
really?
I don't know. I've just always been into visual stuff or whatever.
Mm.
So,
talk us through your tattoos. Do they kind of all have a similar theme, or are they totally random?
They're all totally random, and they don't really mean a heck of a lot. A lot of them. Some of them do. Like when I went through like photography phase, I got a camera on me. My first tattoo ever is a Radiohead one, which I'm actually really still love it. So like if I can get a good tattoo at 17, I reckon you're on your way to getting more good tattoos.
Oh, definitely.
I was doing all right with my tattoos, but
yeah.
Over 30, I mean, they look great, but it means it makes your mum cry. So it's a bit of give and take. With
Do you have a favorite artist that you go back to? A favorite tattoo artist?
Yep. No, not really. I had one. There's a great. The good thing about Auckland is they've got some really great tattooists there.
It's not that pretentious after all. You do get some pretentious tattooists for sure.
That's where I got my graphic design degree. So that's where I studied. I studied in Auckland, so I spent 3 years there and stuff. Where I found to do my art because. Yeah. Before I was doing my graphic design, I did, I was doing photography.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then I was in Sydney for like a year where
did you study photography or?
I did for a little bit. I studied for a little bit, but I kind of didn't finish it. It was something that I kind of just, did for a little bit. So it was my first creative sort of dipping my toe back in the water. And mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to do something creative, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. So I went and studied in Wellington where I got my, you do a fine arts degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first year you do bits of everything. And then the second year you choose what you want to do. And I fell in love with photography. And that's when I did that. So, but then I thought photography was going to be my thing. And I did it for a few years and I did okay at it. Like I was doing lots of live music photography, which I really enjoyed. But
Was that your main kind of style, shooting photography
at events? When I was growing up in Wellington as a teenager, there was a massive music scene.
Oh, definitely.
Especially an indie one, I guess, indie music.
Yep.
There were bands like So So Modern or whatever. They were amazing. So I did lots of music photography. I got on publications and stuff. And
oh, nice.
I thought that's what I was my call, mm-hmm. my artistic call in my life or whatever. And then I went to Sydney for 1 year where mm-hmm. I lost my passion for photography. I just went by the wayside.
Okay.
I just did it for a little bit. Tried to do it there. I was trying to get into fashion photography.
Sure.
And I just hated the organizing of everything. Like you'd have to organize the models and the clothes and the location and stuff.
It's not easy, man.
No, it's tough work. So when I went to, I had the photos, I would use it on Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the one part I really loved.
Sure.
Just being in front of all Photoshop.
And just creating.
And just editing all the photos. So that kind of was the start of getting used to my artistic skill that I have
Absolutely.
Now. And then when I was in Sydney, I got made redundant at my job. And I sort of gave up on Sydney after that. And my friend at the time in Sydney, he was a graphic designer. And I kind of got inspired by him. And I was like, shoot, I'm just going to come go back to New Zealand and go back to Auckland mm-hmm. and get my graphic design degree,
mm-hmm.
which I went back to Auckland and got that.
Well, where do you get it done in Auckland?
AUT University.
I went to AUT as well, man.
I was on the battlegrounds in Auckland. So I was there for 3 years and stuff, and I didn't really like Auckland all that much. Mm-hmm. But I got my degree and I majored in illustration. But whilst doing that graphic design degree, that's when I found Illustrator.
Yep.
That's when I kind of fell in love with it. And all my design briefs were all art-based. Like I'd always get Bs or whatever. I'd just sort of pass because I wasn't really sticking to the brief because it was more art than graphic design. So once I got my degree, I moved back home to Wellington to my family's house, which was so nice. Like we lived in a bush or whatever. So I just, that's where I found my calling for my art there. And I just drew, and that's why it all clicked for me right there is when I was just drawing at home in Wellington and just after the harsh realities that Auckland offered me, and that's when I just started drawing and I was just like, oh, okay, maybe I had something here and with my new medium and stuff, mm-hmm. and I just sort of kicked on from there.
So it seems like you find comfort in expressing yourself without having any boundaries.
I hate boundaries. I hate people telling me what to do. I'm definitely my own man, I think.
I think that kind of maybe relates to the Sydney part, because I have, I guess my question for the Sydney part is, do you think maybe part of that struggle was the fact that money was involved at that point? Like,
well, yeah, money's always involved. If you decide to do something creative and try and pursue something creative, there's always going to be the element of the money struggle. Like,
yeah.
I know that. Like, that's why I, work at Harvin, you know, like it's 39 hours a week, and Melbourne's like so expensive. It's such an expensive city. Yep. So you can't be that typical artist and sort of just not work and try and actually just become an artist, unless you've got like a really rich family that can support you.
Definitely.
Which, you know, I don't, like, I'm total 100% middle class. So, you know, so you have to like, you have to work. You have to work your ass off. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do at Harvin. I work there, 39 hours a week, just to sort of pay the surging rent and the constant attack of bills.
Yeah. what's it?
Oh man, they're so relentless. They must be laughing at their headquarters, just the amount of how much they like to pick on us.
what's the balance like between working your 39 hours and then having to have enough capacity in your brain to go back home and then kind of work on your art?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's actually a lot of, you realize it's quite a lot of sacrifice. I work 39 hours a week, so it's a full-time gig.
Absolutely.
But then, when I, go home, like, it's real, like, I gotta do my work. I gotta roll up my sleeves and actually,
do you treat it as work?
At the start you do. When you first like get home and all you want to do is sort of watch NBA or something on Netflix or whatever, but you kind of refuse to do that, and you kind of sit yourself down and actually roll up your sleeves and actually go to work, and that's what I make myself do. So yeah, there's definitely lots of sacrifices. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen the movies Whiplash and
Definitely
La La Land.
Yep.
And there's the newish one as well, First Man. Like, that's the one with the Neil Armstrong. It's stars Ryan, who was in La La Land, who was the guy in
Ryan Gosling.
So Ryan Gosling is in First Man also. So and the director of that film, all those three films, is Damien Chazelle, who a lot of his films have the theme of the philosophy of careerism, which is sort of like sacrificing like love, friendship and family and stuff for like the things that you want in life. So I definitely feel like I have like that kind of thought of careerism for sure. Like,
awesome, man.
Yeah.
And what sort of sacrifices do you think you've made to truly call yourself an artist? Like, what things did you have to go through to go, okay, I'm Sam, this is what I want to do, now I've figured it out, this is what I need
I definitely haven't figured it out. I'm still like at square one, like I'm still at the bottom of the barrel. Like, I still, for me to be successful, it's like for me to make
money,
an actual living from my art. But like, I would love to go back home to New Zealand. Like, I would love to be with my family and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like, but I'm in Melbourne doing my thing. And then, like, I mean, I've got friends, but, like, I've had, like, so many friends sort of, like, give up on me. Just because it's my own fault. Like, I'm the one that, like, always bails on them and wants to do art and stuff.
Definitely.
So, so it's the friends thing. And,
do you think that's become of age as well? Like, the older you get, the more precious you are with your time?
Yeah, for sure. Like, and that's one of the reasons why also, like, I can't, like, I had like a girlfriend for like 3 years. Like, I had a girlfriend and like I just couldn't do that watching season 3, episode 12. You know, I couldn't do that thing anymore. So my time is sort of insanely precious.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I totally agree.
I completely relate. I understand what you mean. Like, I love playing games, like video games, and watching anime.
Yeah.
And sometimes just simply, do I go build something and make money, or potentially make money, or do I like kill time playing this
game?
That's
why I feel like I'm like the definition of side hustle. Like, I've only got that small amount of time to really work and try and see if maybe my our dreams will come true or whatever, but there's only really one way to know that.
Absolutely.
And that's actually to put in the work.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned earlier, like towards the beginning, you had sort of like your art urges and that's sort of what drives you to do your art.
Yeah.
Can you maybe dig into that a little bit into, I guess, the like the frequency and the process and more specifically, you sort of mentioned plagiarizing and referencing examples. What's the process of seeing something and being like, I'm going to draw that in my way? How does that work?
Yeah. Mm. Well, as a kid, like, I was always obsessed with pop culture. Like, I was always watching, like, Dragon Ball Z, or I was always interested in music. Like, Michael Jackson was my idol. Like, I've got a Michael Jackson tattoo, and I'm proud of it.
Nice.
But, like... Excuse me. But so I've always been interested. I've always been obsessed with America. Like, I love America so much. Yep. Like, their culture and everything is so amazing. Like, the stuff we use, like technology, like Apple and everything, like it's all American. Like, I think America is so great. And as a kid, like music, TV, movies, I've always just been interested in popular culture. Simpsons also. So like, so like, I've always known about pop culture, and I've always enjoyed that. But I've always like asked myself, like, why do I know all this crazy stuff? Like, why do I know so much, like, stupid, like, trivia sort of stuff? And now it just comes through my art. So I can express that kind of weird pop culture obsession that I have through my art. And yeah, so I'll draw stuff that like people won't know. So like, if I draw like a comic scene from The Watchmen, which is like a graphic novel by the great Alan Moore, and I would just draw that. So that would be me just like showing that I know The Watchmen. I'm expressing that I know them, and maybe you go check them out or whatever. But this is just my way of expressing like all the stuff I've known. Like, I've always got ideas of things to draw. Like, I never run out of ideas. Like, they're always there. It's like they're in a waiting line waiting for their ticket to be punched.
Thank you. Wow. That's actually a really good way of looking at it.
So like, how do you prioritize them then? Like, how do you be like,
they're just gonna wait their turn. Like,
yeah, awesome. So when you say expression, you kind of, it's kind of like you're a fan, fanning out.
I pay homage to stuff. Like, say I'm totally aware that I'm a white guy drawing Japanese anime and Japanese culture. Like, I'm totally aware of that. But for me, it's me just paying homage to it because I'm such a massive fan of it. Because I love, like I said, like TV shows like Neon Genesis, Evangelion, and Akira. Like, I'm only drawing it because I love it, you know, so.
Yeah. I actually just watched that recently.
What'd you watch?
Neon Genesis.
You watched
it on... I say, when it came on Netflix.
Yes.
I've been wanting to watch it for years, and I finally...
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, because I was watching on Kiss Anime. You know how on Kiss Anime you lose your spot and it's hard to get back to where you were? So when it came on Netflix, I just watched it all like in like a couple of days. I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, the end started to confuse me, and I don't really know
what happened. Yeah, it's a very controversial ending, and it got a lot of backlash for that.
But
it's a show that's about like a lot of it like Sigmund Freud kind of stuff, like, and like a lot of religious sort of stuff in it also, but then it's that they're very well aware that it's sort of like a Gundam sort of show, so it's like people in robots fighting each other. It's a great show.
So you mentioned earlier that you queue up your ideas and they've just got to wait their turn to kind of come through. What's that process look like? Do you write them down? Is it all in your head?
Nah, I'm not much of a writing down guy. It's always sort of in my head. So yeah, I don't know. Like, it's always just a drawing that's going to happen. I say that, but at the moment, like, I just did a massive drawing just now that was very dense, and I kind of just, and now I feel good that I don't have to do any art for a while, like maybe like 2-3 days. But they just sort of take their turn. Like, they never run out. Like, except for now, like, I couldn't quite tell you what I'm going to draw next, but something's on the way, I promise.
Which is cool. Keeps it quite exciting. Like,
you just totally, I like to be varied with the things that I draw. So whether it be furniture or like travel stuff, like cars or spaceships and stuff. And then there's obviously the anime part that I draw. So I like to keep it varied whilst using the same medium. Mm-hmm. So if I'm one of my favorite artists is Hokusai, who's a Japanese woodblock artist. He's the one that did the
The waves?
The waves.
Yeah.
He did the 36 waves.
Yep.
So that was Woodblock Prince, and he had an exhibition at the NGV maybe 2 years ago now, I think it was.
Maybe a little bit less than that.
Yeah,
I remember.
But it was so amazing. And one of the things that I took away from it was just so dense. There was so much of it. So it was so varied. So sometimes he'd draw demons, or sometimes he'd draw flowers and birds, and then he'd draw like architecture. So, but it was all the same medium. It was all the same woodblock prints.
Mm-hmm.
But he would just draw different things. So I took a lot out of that. Like, so I like to keep my art varied also.
That's
so
awesome.
Whilst keeping the same medium, which is Adobe Illustrator.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely. We'll definitely post on the site links to all this stuff so listeners can see them. But when you say dense, do you mean like as in the context of now you've got a few days buffer time until your next one?
Yeah.
Do you mean detailed? Like what do you...
Yeah, the one I just drew was so detailed. So I drew the Bauhaus school, which is in Germany. And that was more of an architectural one. So that was like mid-century modernism architecture. So modernism architecture is just really quite like beams and bars, and it's quite boxy. So it was like super detailed. So it sort of takes a lot of you, because you got to understand like drawing like quite intensely. It's such a mental thing. Like if I'm hungover, like I can't draw. Like there's just no way that I'm going to be drawing. So it was just so like lots of concentration, because Adobe Illustrator is just so complex.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different tools with how to manipulate the shapes on the computer program.
Mm.
So, so that was a big concentration one. So I'll probably draw something really simple, maybe like a chair or something.
I'd imagine for that piece, the maths would have been like a bit intense.
Yeah, well, the thing is like with the maths, it is totally maths, but Adobe Illustrator knows that not everyone is great at maths, so they simplify it down to where it looks like it's a creative thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the math, if you understand the X's and the Y's, which we were talking about earlier, you can understand how to do it, but it's only just basic. Like, so you're drawing vectors and curves with pulls and levies. So the mathematics guys and girls who made that program, they understand that they have to make it creative.
Yep.
So, even though there's definitely maths and numbers involved and stuff, they sort of make it to a point where it's a skill that you can learn. It's a creative skill. Mm. So,
Totally.
When you think of something that you really want to create, do you draft it on a piece of paper? Do you sketch it, or do you go straight to your computer?
Yeah,
and start?
I'm interested in this process, definitely.
Oh, great question. It's a blank white screen that I look at, and I go to work on it straight away. I'm a child of the 90s, so like I grew up with the internet. Whereas like the impressionist artists, they would go out into the outdoors and paint haystacks or nature. I'm a child of the 90s, so like I can Google images and stuff. So like I would have lots of different pictures and different angles, and then I'd just get to work and go on it straight away. It's weird with Adobe Illustrator, because you're drawing with shapes and layers.
Yep.
So it's pretty easy, really. Like if you can just draw shapes and know how to put them on top of each other, I kind of look at it as like when you're building like a model and you've got all the pieces and you put the model together.
Yep.
I look at it as I'm doing that with my art, but I'm drawing the pieces and then I'm putting them together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the creative process works. So I've got lots of pictures around, and then I just get to it. I just draw it.
The just think about that process. I use Illustrator a lot, like logos and stuff like that.
Yes.
I'm interested in like graphic design sort of realm, everything's a bit more calculated, I guess, and I understand like how layers work, effects work, all that sort of stuff. But when you're thinking about it from an artistic point of view, how does that Command Z work? Like Command Z is undo.
Yes.
So like if you're drawing on a page or something physical, like you can't undo, I guess.
Yeah. So let's say if you're a painter or whatever, and you do a mistake, then you just that's just the mistake, and you got to work with that. Yeah, I'm after. Yeah, that's such a good question. I'm after perfection. Like, what's wrong with wanting the drawing and the picture that you want to make?
Nothing
like,
at all. Yep.
Like, it's perfect, but it's not perfect. Nothing's ever really perfect, but like it's as perfect as I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
The Command Z 100%. I use that so much. So it's like undo, it's an undo button. So yeah, I want it to look exactly how I want it to do.
Have the words faded yet from your keyboard?
That's so funny. No, okay. No, it's still there. I mean, all the buttons get used all the time.
Yeah.
Good question. But like today, I say, what's wrong with wanting it to look like how
definitely.
You want it?
Yeah,
to
totally.
Look.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, but so that's what I was.
So you keep referring as being a kid of the 90s,
yeah.
And your entire influence comes from pop culture and the States and the sports and stuff.
Yeah,
talk us a little bit about your background, your upbringing, your childhood.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was brought up in a coastal town in New Zealand, total middle class.
What's the name of the coastal town?
Oh, well, it's New Plymouth.
Oh,
it's New
cool.
Plymouth. Yeah, oh, yeah, you're from
yeah,
New Zealand,
yeah, yeah,
that's right. New
yeah.
Plymouth, yeah. So, like...
I used to go out to New Plymouth quite a bit. One of my friends owned a little pub.
Oh, cool.
So we used to
yeah.
go and spend
yeah,
the weekend.
Yeah, it's the only place in New Zealand where you can surf and ski on the same day. Like,
pretty
it's
much.
That, it's that kind of place. So, yeah, I had... the perfect childhood. Like it was so privileged that I didn't even know that it was privileged. Like
yeah,
I was
well.
Just like, I was just like in a childhood of like bliss. Like
mm.
my family was super loving and like I had an education and like I just played sports and stuff. So nothing went wrong. Like not even things that were out of like my family's control, whether it be like major deaths or whatever,
sure.
or a natural disaster, like nothing,
sure.
nothing went wrong. So I was pretty loved, but, yeah, I was, yeah, so that was it. So yeah, I, moved to Wellington when I was like 17, I think it was.
With your family or by yourself?
No, with my family, sorry.
Okay.
My family uprooted us from my picturesque childhood and we went to Wellington, which was, when I look back on it, is so good because that's when, because Wellington, as we were talking about earlier,
mm.
Is so cultured. So
what was the reason for the move?
I think my parents maybe saw that, like just New Plymouth can be a little bit stifling.
Yep.
It is a small town.
It
and
is.
I think my parents maybe just wanted to take me and my two other brothers somewhere else.
Younger brothers, older.
Yeah, two younger brothers. So yeah, I'm the eldest. So
uh-huh.
Yeah, so all five of us will move to Wellington and stuff. Which I, I'm forever thankful for my parents for
mm.
moving us to Wellington because
yeah.
that's when I got introduced to like, you know, more left sort of things, like left ideals and
mm.
Just what Wellington represents and stuff. Just sort of what I became. So. Yeah, I just wonder how I would have turned out if I...
if you came to Auckland.
Oh, God. I'd be on Shortland Street or something. I'd be next to...
Shortland Street.
Hanging out in Ponsonby, on Ponsonby Road.
Yeah, Shortland Street, for those who don't know, is pretty much like Home and Away or
yeah,
Neighbours. It's
yeah.
just like a series that's never finished. And like,
it will never finish. It will never die.
It won't.
It will never
it won't.
Die.
I was actually an extra on there for like 2 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, were you
on
in
which
the hospital?
One?
Shortland Street.
Oh, that's a show.
Yeah.
It's
oh, like
okay.
a soap opera.
It's
okay.
New Zealand's version of, yeah, like you said, Home and Away,
yeah.
Neighbours.
Yeah.
See,
it's
yeah.
been around
yeah.
forever.
So I did like a 2-hour thing,
what did you do?
Sitting in a cafe, having coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fucking horrible.
Did you make the shot? Like, did you make a...
I have no idea.
Oh, you didn't even see the show?
I have no idea, no.
You didn't want to watch yourself? Like, I know
no.
that when this podcast finishes, I can't wait to listen to myself.
I've stopped listening to podcasts after started making our own.
too critical. You can just notice everything now.
Well, yeah, that. But also, I was an extra on another show called Spartacus, but I've never watched
yeah.
a single episode
yeah.
on there.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
just like, nah, I can't do this. Like,
Spartacus.
It'll be too cringe watching myself on
screen.
Oh,
yeah,
screen.
Okay. Just like how I don't like have my own drones on my own body.
There you
it's
go.
The same thing.
There you go.
Yeah,
just
I guess.
Wanna,
yeah,
but your talent obviously supersedes mine. Like, we're in two different...
I don't
know, things,
Spartacus,
you know what I mean?
Spartacus
you're an
is
artist.
Pretty... No, Spartacus is pretty...
But I'm not an actor, though, so I don't give a shit.
That's true.
You want to see, like, a head in the background.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, popping away.
Yeah.
Or armor in the background.
But going back to your childhood, moving from New Plymouth, which was a very kind of quiet, very family-oriented town, to Wellington, and then kind of discovering your artistic talents. Talk us through your upbringing and kind of your schooling and how you fell into creativity. At which point did you go, actually, my brain is ticking
mm.
in that direction as opposed to what some of the other kids were doing?
Yeah, well, obviously, moving to Wellington was a big part of that. I went to when I was in New Plymouth, I went to a Catholic boys only school where they shoved religion down you. Like it was like religion was like the only subject that you could do, you had to do, like from like year one to year.
Was your family religious at the time?
No, it was more like my dad went to that school, so I went to that school. The religion thing sort of wasn't that big of a part. So when we moved to Wellington, we had an option of either going back to that another religious school that was similar to that, or one that was completely opposite, which was like girls, mufti, totally artistic.
Public.
Yeah, public school.
Yeah.
And yeah, we all chose the other one instead. So we went, so yeah, and that's where a lot of, you got to meet the heaps of different other kids and stuff from that school. It was called Wellington High School. Yeah, that's where it sort of clicked for me, like, because I became like really good friends with just people that I've never been friends with or whatever. So yeah, so that was, that's kind of where it all sort of started for me. And that's where I got introduced to music and all that sort of stuff. So
What sort of subjects did you take at school?
They were all pretty much artistic ones because it was a public school. They offered all those sorts of options. So yeah, like usually when I would be in New Plymouth, it would be sports, which was fine and everything. But with Wellington High School, it was like completely the opposite. So it was more like arts, more media sort of stuff also. Mm-hmm. So like magazines, radio, all that sort of stuff. So that's when it all started to sort of click for me that I was really into doing all that sort of stuff instead of all the sort of academic sort of religious stuff. I just that was just not me at all.
Totally.
Do your parents come from an artistic background?
Well, my dad really got me into music and art. My dad would always collect books on art and stuff. So I was introduced to fine art. So that's like impressionist sort of painting. So that's like Monet and Manet and Degas. So like those were all the artists that I really got into. And I was always like a big fan of all those impressionist artists. They were like the first punks. They were like the first people that were artists that sort of went against
the grain.
So like before the impressionists, like everyone just sort of painted aristocrats and royalty and government people, and they wanted to draw real life, and they went outdoors, and so I always got a kick out of that as a kid.
Awesome,
so that's when I first learned about art. And my dad introduced me also to the Beatles, which was, they were also like free thinking artists as well. So, and their kind of music was, had messages and stuff and thoughts. So, I was always into the Beatles and, their sort of life as well. So, Beatles and Impressionists were a big impact on me. And a lot of that came from, my dad, but my mum was always creative also. Like I said, she made, hats for me and stuff. So she was always like, and into making things as well. But they always like were always like happy that I was doing art, which I always did as a kid and stuff.
So you weren't pressured to kind of take the more of an academic role?
No, not at all. No, like I said, my parents were like super loving, so they were always really supportive of me. Like I was, I was just always doing art as a kid. So and they'd always just be really supportive of that. I never felt any negative impact not to do it.
I think like Kiwis growing up, they were very free thinking at the time, like when we migrated in 1998 and meeting different people that I went to school with and having to meet their parents. I was like, whoa, they're super chilled out and they're super supportive of their kids and stuff. And that's something I really looked up to because I came from a Middle Eastern household where it's just like, all right, it's either you're going to be a lawyer, a dentist, an accountant, or any other boring corporate job. And I was just like, nah, fuck that. That shit's not for me.
And were your parents okay with that?
My mom was. My mom was totally supportive.
Yeah.
Very free thinking.
Yeah.
She's the one that got me into music, pushed me to travel, all that. My dad was more of the disciplinary.
Yeah, right.
And wanted me to do certain things in a certain way. But I think the older I got, the more he was just like, oh, whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah, and you're in New Zealand, so you could do that.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, New Zealand's, it's such a lovely country.
Exactly.
It's such a nice country.
Totally agree.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thinking about all of this, like, inspiration and influences, I'm interested in how this all culminated into your current style.
Yeah.
Because all of these influences are quite different and unique.
Yeah.
As you sort of came up and came to your current style? Was there a bit of a trying different styles? Like you sort of mentioned photography and stuff like that. Like, were you trying different styles?
As I think it's really good to try stuff, like try, because I know that I'm like so lucky that I've got a creative pursuit. Like, I know a lot of people would give their right leg to like have a creative outlet or whatever. So
definitely.
I'm really lucky that I got it. But it's all a matter of just like trying stuff, like actually giving it a go. But also like, as I think that it's important to like give it a go, like it's also important to like be like, you know what, this isn't working for me, I need to move on to something else, and try something else, or give it, I'll have a break from it. Because like, yeah, like I was always, after trying to find my creative thing, my medium or whatever, mm-hmm. so like whether it be photography, okay, I did photography for 4 years. That didn't work. Okay, now I'm going to do graphic design. Okay, graphic design isn't for me. Okay, what's next? And then I found the one that I wanted. So, just as I think it's really good to, like, try stuff, it's really important to maybe just be, like, just to let it go also. So that's what I found anyway. You just got to look. You just got to, you got to be brave and look.
Yeah, it's really insightful. I like that. I like that thought of recognizing and then not giving up, just trying something.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Of self-awareness, just being self-aware of your situation, and maybe it just isn't for me. Like, it's just beating your head up against the wall sometimes, and that's how I kind of felt with photography. But I only fell out of photography because I kind of found, like, with Photoshop, and then Photoshop led me to graphic design, and graphic design led me to art. So there was always like a safety net. There was always going to be something else that I could do.
So through that progression, have any mentors or advisors or anything that sort of inspired you along the way?
In New Zealand there was a lady I became friends with, a lady, her name is like Tracy. So she was like she kind of helped me and got me to be better at Illustrator and the art that I use. So she was super supportive. I met her when I was working at a retail shop, and she just came in and we just got along, and she was a graphic designer. So I owe a lot to her.
Thing I wanted to tap into was the process of not giving up. Like you mentioned earlier that you start something, it doesn't work for you, you drop it, you tackle the next thing. That's not a very easy thing to do for people in general. Mm. Like for me, I'm quite scared of picking up something, failing at it, and then picking something else. So how have you built that courage and that bravery to go, actually, I've got nothing to lose. Yeah. Let me give it a go. Like, it's a very Kiwi thing. Let's give it a go, which is great.
Well, I'm totally aware that I feel like I'm a failure. Like, I'm totally aware of that. But that doesn't mean that I cannot be a failure. Like, so I feel like I'm a failure because I'm not really where I want to be. And where I want to be is, like, I have high aspirations with my art. Mm-hmm. I like my heroes that I have in art, whether it be like Paul Cézanne, mm-hmm. or Hoogerside or whatever, or any of the Impressionist painters, like I want to be like that.
Yep.
Like, I want to be the best at art. Yep. I want to be like, I want people to like see my art and just give up on making art themselves, or maybe inspire them or whatever. I don't know, but like, I want to be the best.
So you've just identified yourself as a failure, which is something I totally disagree with, like looking at your portfolio.
It's a mindset.
No, but I see what you mean there, because I kind of feel that way a little bit myself as well. And like, you kind of, I guess that's why we're doing this podcast, is to figure out how do we get to the next level.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you guys. This podcast is so good. So
because what we've learned, I guess, one of the biggest things we've learned through this podcast is just to sort of pause and enjoy the journey, like where we are right now. Like
it's so cliche, but it is about the journey of getting there and stuff. And I love doing my art. I love drawing. Like no one else is going to draw the things that I'm going to draw, so it might as well be me. And I enjoy the process of it. I do it. I'm not getting paid or anything for it right now.
But yet,
I'm still there doing it. You know, like I enjoy the process. Like, I'll always do it. There's an artist, American artist, who's really so, so well known. Like, his name's Jeff Koons.
Mm-hmm.
He did the big dog balloons. He does lots of sculptures and stuff. But he doesn't actually do the art. Like, he's got, like, heaps of people working under him that that do the sculptures and do the art form and stuff under his strict specifications, which I couldn't do myself. Like, I want to do the art. So
you
want to
be a soloist, just focus on what you're doing and your craft.
Yeah, my artwork is super insular. Like, it's just me. Like, I just like going into my room, listening to music or podcasts, and just being by myself and drawing. I love that.
That's cool.
I love, but if you choose, so I choose to be alone a lot of the time, but which I'm totally fine with, and I love being alone. But then, like, one time out of 10, the loneliness comes in, and you do get lonely. It's part and parcel if you choose to be alone.
See, that's a bit tricky for me to kind of comprehend, because you work in your day job, and you work in an industry where you're having to talk to people on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Like, by the hour, if not by the minute, you know, it depends on how many people come through the store. But then at the same time, you're like at that other extreme when you've got spare time. You just don't want to be by yourself.
Well, I'm a typical extroverted introvert. So, like, and also I'm getting a paycheck from Harvin. So I got to work it. So, but yeah, but like, I like people. I really do. And the people that come into my work with Harvin, like, are great, and I love all the connections that I make there and stuff, but it even just drives home the point that, oh God, I can't wait to get home and be by myself.
Okay.
So there is, I've got that nice balance.
That nice balance.
It's a really cool balance, because like work is filling that social side.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. It fills up my battery, like it fills all my social needs, you know, like, plus I live with my brother, so like.
Oh, cool.
That's all, like, if I need to talk to anyone or need some, like, human contact, then my brother Chris.
You got family.
I've got family, my brother there and stuff. So, like, I never really feel like I'm alone on my own, but he's always just down the hallway. But, I definitely do like my alone time for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So what's next for your art? Like, where do you see it going? I mean, I know you mentioned earlier you don't know what your next piece could be, but where do you envisage yourself kind of a year from now, 10 years from now?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's such a good question. Because like the art that I'm making now, because I'm drawing on a computer, it's so primitive. So the things that I'll be drawing in 10 years time will be so much more complex and more dense than the things I'm drawing now. So you work and draw to get to that point. So in terms of a year, it's about working hard and waiting for that right opportunity. You got to know when that opportunity comes up and slaps you in the face. I got to keep working for that. That's what you got to keep doing. Like,
Totally.
Keep working.
And you're building that catalog. Like, you got the catalog behind you. So once you get that opportunity, you're not fresh. You have all of this stuff you've done.
Yeah. Well, it's all there. It's all the proof is there. Like, all the drawings are there. Like, I work extremely hard on my art and I'm proud of it, but like all the work is there, like the proof is all there.
How many pieces do you have, do you think?
So when did I start drawing? Like, maybe it'd be well over 600 drawings, and they're all like, they take about, I can probably do one a week. They take about a week to do. So, and I look back maybe 52, I look back at my Instagram and my drawings, and I had, I had about 52 of them, and then I look back, so I've been drawing like a drawing a week, so I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's amazing. Pretty cool. So do you have any plan to like monetize it all, like on like shirts or prints or anything like that?
Or maybe host some sort of an exhibition somewhere?
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I've done an exhibition before, but it crushed me. Like, I did one when I first came to Melbourne, but it didn't go so well, and I haven't really done an exhibition since, but I would love to. But for me, it's really good to... because you got to put your art out there, and that's what an exhibition is all about.
Definitely.
But for me, Instagram just sort of suits my art, because my art is digital. So it's to want to do art, you want to almost like you need to show people it. That's the point of art. You know, you want to have that connection with someone, and you need to show your art. So for me, it's Instagram's really good and it fulfills that. So like once I finish my drawing, I can just post it and put it out there. Like once it's out there, it's out there.
That's your life exhibition.
Yeah, and then I can move on to the next one. I would hate to think if you're like an introverted artist and like you and there was no Instagram back in the days and you just couldn't show your work. You're like, okay, well, I've done this painting. Now it just sits on my wall.
You know? I'd imagine you'd feel pretty trapped.
So art is about expressing yourself to other people, and that's what yeah, so that's what Instagram provides for me. But like the way we consume social media and Instagram, I think is so primitive at the moment. Like, yep, it's going to change, like how we consume social media. Like, it's only the start of it. So yeah, who's to know and who's to say where it will go.
Yeah, I was reading actually that Instagram, that Facebook is going to remove the likes from Instagram completely.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see, but not just the number, like they're removing it completely.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like the whole concept.
Okay.
So I'm really interested.
So I must have worked for Instagram because that's what Instagram is doing right now. They've gotten rid of likes, which is like all about mental health, obviously. Mm, so it's like, you know, chasing all those likes and it's giving you anxiety because you're not reaching that level or whatever.
Well, how does that affect the people who are making money from Instagram?
Well, they're the ones that are unhappy.
They're going to suffer, right?
They're actually unhappy. Like, they've actually voiced their displeasure because a lot of influencers make money from their likes and now they don't have that. So, but screw them. Like,
it's so much freer to be able to put something out. And because really it doesn't matter how many likes you get. It's still kind of like what we're saying. You have your back catalogue.
Yeah.
And eventually when that opportunity happens, that right person or people are going to look at your Instagram.
Was going back to the essence of what Instagram was about. It's about expressing yourself and showing off your talents or your creativity or whatever the case may be. You're like, it's a form of expression.
Used for initially, you know, people using it and stuff. Yeah. So I don't know. It's come a long way, but as an artist, there's never been a better time to be an artist just with social media and stuff because it's so visual. So you can just put your stuff out there. It's like when the Beatles first came out, they came out the same time as the transistor radio.
Yeah.
So that means heaps and heaps of people got to listen to the Beatles.
Of course.
So it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Like there's a new medium out there to show your stuff.
Yeah. That's actually a really cool way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to wrap up. Obviously we don't want to take up too much of your time. Do you have any last words or any advice for any fellow artists or someone who's looking to kind of take their art a little bit more seriously?
Well, I think you just got to be very thoughtful about like what you want to show and what you want to say or whatever. Like, you just can't draw something just for the hell of it. I think there has to be some kind of intellect or thought process to it. Yeah, I mean, it's so cliche, but if just don't give up. I mean, it doesn't even matter if you want to be an artist or whatever. Just to have some kind of creative outlet, I think, is so important for being a human being. So, whether it be pottery or art classes or whatever, I think it's really important to have a creative outlet for sure.
Definitely. I think finding a meaning or like a value in showing what you're doing, so kind of creating something for the sake of creating is fine, but I think if you've got some sort of a DNA behind it, I think it'd be more of a driver.
It's a common fact that the so we have the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain, and the right side of the brain is the creative side. So imagine what happens to your brain when you're constantly being creative, like, because your brain is you. So so it definitely can shape you, I think. I think doing art constantly has shaped me, so yeah.
Awesome, man.
Awesome.
Did you want to plug in yourself, your website, your Instagram?
Sure, it's just at Sam Conaghan Gallery. That's where just my art is. That's about it. Sorry.
Awesome, man. Yeah, you guys definitely have to check out his Instagram.
We'll definitely post. We'll add it to all the
he's got some amazing stuff on there. Like, Luke and I were looking at it this morning while we were having coffee before this podcast, and we were just like, holy shit, this dude is talented.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much, man. We won't take up too much of your time because we know you've got to go, but we're really grateful for your time and having you here, man.
Luke and I, Matt, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.